Let's pray.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In a full English breakfast, what's the difference between the chicken and the pig? Anybody heard this one? Some nods. Some people know. The chicken is involved, the pig commits. This little riddle, or joke, if it qualifies for that, is used widely in motivational talks in a wide variety of contexts, from sports managers firing up their team before a match, to sales directors encouraging their sales teams to give everything, to teachers exhorting their students to revise hard for their exams. It's even sometimes used by vicars in sermons on church life and discipleship. I can see the logic. After all, Jesus did talk about dying to self, preferring others to ourselves, and loving God with our whole selves. But it does seem to me there's a bit of a problem with this metaphor. You see, in the case of the full English breakfast, neither the chicken nor the pig had any choice over their level of commitment to said breakfast. What each provided was taken from them by the farmer or the cook. So it seems to me if we're not careful with this picture, we end up casting God as the farmer who might look after the livestock, but in the end takes what he wants without so much as a by your leave. That's not the God that I see in the Bible. It's not the God I see at work in the world. Over the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to be exploring together in our morning services what it does mean to get involved in different aspects of the church's life and mission. But before we do, as we begin, I wanted to get this right in at the foundations. God does call us to self-giving, self-sacrificial, self-denying love, absolutely. As we've just celebrated at Easter, this is nothing that God hasn't already done for us. Our response is exactly that. It's a response to God's love and self-sacrifice, not God's will imposed on us. It's a heart response of love. Earlier in the year, we were exploring how we express our church value of loving God in different ways, in our intimacy with God. And now we're thinking about our value of loving each other, how that might be expressed practically in different ways of getting involved in church life and mission. So each week we're going to explore some of what the Bible says about it and have some practical examples of different ways that we might get involved. But these are examples only. Part of the invitation of this period of time is for each of us to take those general principles that come from the scripture that we're going to explore in these sermons, in these services, and apply them to our own lives under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See where the Holy Spirit's river might be taking us, perhaps in unexpected directions, perhaps especially for those who feel like they've been left behind or don't feel like they've got much to give. You see, this isn't about us being useful to God or God using us. I don't believe that God does use us because we're people, not things. But I do believe that God has a purpose for each of us and works that God has prepared for each of us to do, whoever we are. So it's my hope that as we walk together over the next few weeks, each of us will grow in our trust of God's purpose for our lives and be more equipped for the works that God has prepared for us to do as a church and as individuals. So that's the kind of introduction both to this morning and to the whole series. And with that in place, shall we have a look at today's Bible passages and see what we find? Let's begin with Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, Ephesians 1. We were kind of reading the beginning of it, weren't we? Where is it? There we go. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 4. Thank you. Glad somebody was listening. And was brave enough to say it. You were all sat there thinking it. Here we go. Ephesians 4. Absolutely. Oops. The first thing that Paul focuses on Ephesians 4 is unity. In a minute, he's going to talk about all kinds of other things. He's going to talk about the different gifts and callings that different people have. But the starting place for Paul is unity. This is Paul's foundation. That's completely in line with our foundational value of loving each other. And then he goes on to describe what this actually looks like. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. You see, whatever our role is in church life, it's all by the gift and grace of God. There's no place for boasting, for standing on status, for prideful talk or behaviour. That's particularly important for those of us in leadership who stand up the front here in various other forms of leadership to remember this and be mindful of. That's quite a high bar, isn't it? Completely humble. No, not a little bit humble. Completely humble. What does he go on to say? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When we're thinking about things that need doing in community life, I'm sure it doesn't happen very often, but just occasionally, we can get frustrated with each other when we see things being done in a way that, I wouldn't have done it like that, or not being done as well as we would like, or what we think should be done. Later on, we do get Paul talking about speaking the truth in love, but there are times when we need to raise concerns and say, actually, but our default position is that first one. That's where we start, being patient, bearing with one another in love, assuming the best of one another. And why is this? Because there is how many bodies? There is one body. There is one body. That is not something we have any choice about. It's a fundamental reality of God's created order that those of us who are in Jesus, who have Jesus as our head, are one body. We just are. We cannot deny each other, for to do that is to deny Christ. We cannot get away from each other, do without each other, for we are one body. We are different parts of the one body with different functions, but we are, how many bodies? One body. That's the basic understanding of what the church is. One body. That's where Paul starts, with unity. So having laid those foundations, Paul then, as I said, goes on to talk about these different gifts. He talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And in other places, in his letters to other churches, he lists more gifts. To be honest, even each of these five could take up a sermon series of their own. So I'm not really going to go into them in great depth. But I am going to, you're going to get used to the theme here. I'm going to come back to their common purpose. What is it? Paul says in the next verse, why did Christ give these? Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. To equip his people for works of service. The gifts that Paul mentions in this particular passage are mostly different aspects of leadership gifts in the church. And why are they given? They are given to equip the people of God for works of service. That's, to be honest, a pretty good summary of the call on leaders in the church, to equip God's people for works of service. And all of that is echoed in our reading from the end of John's eyewitness account of the good news of Jesus. Right in the last chapter of John, near enough. The last almost verses of John. After all the events that we've just celebrated at Easter, Jesus' death and Jesus' return to life, he meets up with Simon Peter and some of his other friends and followers, his disciples, on the lake, on the beach of Lake Galilee for a breakfast picnic. And over grilled fish, he has this conversation with Simon Peter, in which he restores him to his position of leadership in the church. And what does this leadership consist of? Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Care for and feed the flock. Now here, the emphasis is more on what you might call pastoral care than on sending out or equipping. But it seems to me that the basic intent of Christian leadership is the same. The focus is on the health, well-being, and flourishing of the people of God in their lives and discipleship. And as Jesus said and showed us, leadership in the people of God is all about serving the people of God. We are really blessed here, All Saints, with the servant leaders that we have among us, who've shown us what this means over the years. I am grateful for the church council members, the wardens team, the action group chairs, the staff team, ministry team leaders of the different aspects of ministry here at All Saints, who've taken on responsibility for different aspects of church life, different aspects of our mission, and have consistently demonstrated this servant leadership. I believe it's something we can celebrate about our life together. In a couple of months, we're going to be having our annual church meeting. And again, we'll have the opportunity to get together and celebrate what God has been doing over the last 12 months among us. We have the opportunity to thank those who are stepping down from the church council, from the action groups, for their service in leadership. We also elect new members to the church council. We'll be looking for a new church warden to work alongside Fiona, who's been carrying out this role on her own, diligently, for the last year. And she's written a letter describing some of the joys that she's found through that year of being a warden. It's going to be coming out to everyone in the coming week to help us pray for someone to step into that role. You might even consider if it could be you. As well as new members of the wardening team, we're particularly praying for someone who has some expertise in health and safety, can help us get our health and safety policy and risk assessments in order. Someone to come alongside Liz Lawson and learn the ropes of being treasurer so she can hand that on when she's ready to. We need at least one new action group chair to join the council. You see, church council members, they don't just go to these meetings. They help us to discern God's voice for the strategic direction of the church, for our mission. In fact, this whole sermon series is coming out of a PCC away day that we had last summer when we were thinking about the life of the church and where we needed to be encouraging people and how we could encourage people and equip people. We need a diversity of voices in our leadership, young and old, long-term church members, people with fresh perspectives. In all this, we're not looking for chickens or for pigs. We're praying for leaders who love God's people, have a heart to feed and care for us, to equip God's people for works of service, and to build up the body, as each part does its work. Amen.